Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Michael Brunts.
And that's all.
That's everybody.
Yep.
That's all you're getting. You want somebody else, you're going to have to wait at least another week and then learn a new language.
Yep.
And we're going to have to learn a new language too.
And I got to find somewhere for that St. Bernard.
Yeah. Man, I don't know if you have enough room in your house for a St. Bernard.
I used to want a Newfoundland.
I remember that.
And then I learned that those dogs live like 6 years and take gigantic poops. So,
would your wife have ever been on board with
with the
Newfoundland?
She was briefly on board with the Newfoundland as an option, and then we got off the Newfoundland path.
Then you get on like the Great Burmese Mountain Dog. Yeah. Wasn't that next?
Well, yeah. When I started doing the math too on how much food, basically you're inviting like a teenager into your house right from the get go.
Which, I mean, it could be worse, right?
I guess.
You guess. Now you're just out on dogs entirely.
Yeah, I'm off the well, not entirely, but smaller dog.
Smaller dog.
Like a slider sized dog.
Oh, okay, all right. I thought you meant like a
not like a Chihuahua, or not a purse dog.
All right. Well, that would look kind of weird if you were rolling into practices just with a dog hanging out with you in your nap bag. Is that what people call them? Nap bags?
Like a computer bag?
Yeah, messenger bag? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're off subject.
Yeah, whatever.
Which is not unusual for us, but
yep.
It's also the end of April, and there's not, you know, pressing things to discuss. But if you had to pick a topic you wanted to get into, and given that it is the day of the NFL draft, the opening round, John Elway's latest quarterback project scheduled to be drafted at some point today.
Do we get Drew Lock? Is that where they're going?
I mean, you could get Lock. You could get Haskins.
Is Haskins going to be there at when Denver picks? Well,
maybe Denver's not going to be at 10 when Denver's supposed to pick. Maybe they'll be at 4. Maybe they'll be at 5.
These are the years where I kind of cross my fingers that they're going to go boring and like draft a guard or something like that.
Which, as someone whose team is likely to draft a guard, I find it really hard to be interested in the draft.
The drafting of a guard in the first round is like the real life equivalent of like buying tires.
You know, it's got to be done, but you're not particularly looking forward to it.
You need them, but it's not a real sexy purchase.
Yeah. That's maybe one of the better equivalences you've ever given on this podcast.
Probably. That's funny. I'm proud of that one.
You like to give those. I always appreciate that. But Nebraska, not likely to have anybody taken on Thursday night. I think that's a given. When do you think that we would be in the territory of Nebraska having a player taken?
I mean, it's third day. I mean, I don't think...
You don't see anybody going Friday night?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that Stanley Morgan will get taken. I'm a little less confident that Divine Azigbo will be taken. And do you think that Tanner Farmer gets like a late... Somebody takes a late flyer on
Tanner Farmer over Luke Gifford?
I would.
If I had to guess who the next person of the most likely to be drafted, it would have been Luke Gifford.
Yeah, I could see that. I was thinking that, and then I was digging a little bit into Tanner Farmer's draft prep. I mean, and the numbers that he put up at Nebraska's Pro Day were pretty competitive. I mean, really competitive with people at the combine.
Is he one of those guys that didn't get enough credit for how good of an athlete he is? I mean, we talked about center and Nebraska's problems with trying to find a center in recent years. And I actually think if Farmer would have just started there, he'd have been a pretty good player at that position. He's a really good athlete. I mean, he was an incredible wrestler in high school. He, you know, went to it a little bit, which probably saved his football career doing it in college. And I just think that we don't give him enough credit for how good he is, at least athletically.
Well, and strength, too. I mean, he's really just, you know, incredibly strong. I mean, if he's not picked, I could see him having a kind of similar career trajectory to like a Jeremiah Searles, maybe, where, you know, you play multiple positions, which makes you extremely valuable. And you know, you just need a chance. And, and I think he's going to get his shot. I just wonder if, you know, teams, somebody will just, you know, sneak in late and get him in the seventh round, maybe, instead of, you know, trying to fight the free agency game.
So if the number was set at 1.5 draft picks, you would take what, over or under?
I would cautiously take the over.
Just cautiously?
Yeah.
I feel like Odzigbo is a pretty safe bet to get drafted now.
Based on?
He's moved up, it seems, on a number of boards, at least what I had read. When I looked at seven-round mocks, he's continuously taken. And it really just takes a matter of one team to be like, okay, we want to use our sixth-round pick on him.
Right, that's true.
And I honestly think he's going to end up with the Vikings. I mean, they've done the most work on him.
Rick Spielman's seen him every game the last 2 years.
And they legitimately have a need for running back, but they don't necessarily have the capital that they can invest early on somebody like a Miles Sanders or a, you know, David Montgomery. So Odzigbo would complement well with Cook. I mean, he could play as a third down running back if necessary, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, I think that there's certain things that line up with what the Vikings need, and he's just worked out for them several times. He's been linked to Minnesota. I just think that's a team that late, they also have like 3 6-round picks too. So,
who do you think out of this group ends up having the best NFL career?
Stanley Morgan, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a better NFL career than Quincy Enunwa, who's had a better NFL career than what people listening to this podcast may realize. Like, Quincy's had several good seasons. He's signed a long-term deal with the Jets. He's going to have, you know, probably another 600-700-yard season here this year if he stays healthy. I think Stanley Morgan can easily do that. There's a reason why that guy, the first time I saw him on campus, and this was after liking him as a recruit and having him in my Super Six, that I knew he would contribute as a freshman. I mean, he's just physically, he's one of the better receivers Nebraska's had. And he's not necessarily the most athletic, but he's more athletic than even I thought when he went through the combine. And he's competitive. I just think he's one of those guys that's going to be a success. I don't have doubts on him the way that I have other Nebraska wide receivers in the last 10 years that have come out, where it's been like, oh, well, this guy could be good. This guy could be good. He reminds me in a lot of ways like Quincy, except he's a better version, I think, than Quincy.
Well, Quincy was, what, a sixth-round pick? Is that right?
Yeah.
It was pretty late. I mean, it's, you know, that's another situation where, you know, a guy just kind of got a shot with a team and made, I mean, the Jets are the Jets, but, I mean, he's, what, 118 career receptions, 1,600 yards, 5 touchdowns. And, I mean, he's been hurt, too. Like, he missed the entire...
missed an entire season with a Nick injury when he would have been the number one receiver in that offense.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they were a bad team, but still, like, his production could have been really good.
Right. And the checks would have cashed, would have cleared, I think.
The checks still cash. No question about that.
Gifford's interesting, too. You know, I think he's a guy that, you know, because of his senior season and the fact that was pretty athletic, and he's 245 pounds right now. Yeah, he'll get a shot. I mean, as a special teams guy too, maybe. You know, with him, it's just a matter of can he stay healthy, because that was something that he always fought at Nebraska.
Well, and think about, you can only take, you know, 53 men on your roster, so you need guys that can do multiple things. So his ability to play special teams, his ability that he could be both an inside or an outside linebacker in certain systems. He could play in a 3-4 or fit fine in a 4-3. I just think that there's enough that he can do that he could put himself on somebody's roster and have success with it and be a steady guy that you don't have to worry about. And sometimes that dependability and reliability is as valuable as anything else, because he also has the athleticism. I mean, he's a good athlete too. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of my surprise why I think Nebraska's going to get 3 people taken. And he, at the very end of that draft in the 7th round, someone who wants him and doesn't want to have to fight everybody in the undrafted free agency aspect of it, is going to nab him.
You met with the Bears?
Falcons,
Saints. I feel like all those guys met with the Saints.
Yeah.
Vikings, too, I think.
I think so.
So, I mean, that's good. I mean, all those guys put up pretty good numbers at Nebraska's Pro Day too for, you know, not getting invites. So it'll be interesting. I would go the over a little less cautiously. You've talked me into, I think two is probably the number. I Gifford and Farmer, I wonder about, but yeah, I mean, it'll be, I guess at what, when do you,
so here's one, is it more likely to you that only one gets taken or three gets taken?
I'd say more likely that three get taken. When do you see Nebraska getting back to having more than like two guys picked?
Or that they're waiting until Saturday for that first time?
Right.
The day Adrian Martinez leaves?
That long?
Yeah. I just, there's, you look at this next upcoming class, what would it be?
Yeah, I know. I think there's another and year so there's, of this. And right. Then it's
not that, you know, look, somebody like Lamar Jackson could go have a monster senior year. And because he's a physical freak, could play his way into being a Friday pick in the NFL. And I know that sounds absurd because there was people just as recent as, you know, 12 months ago that would have laughed you out of every, you know, dwelling in America for right. saying such a thing. But that's how a lot of this works, is that physical projection. He's the only guy I can think of that's a senior for this upcoming year that makes sense to me in that regard.
Mo Berry, you think he gets picked?
He's too small. As an inside linebacker in the NFL, he's barely 6 foot.
I'm trying to think who else.
And he's not the same caliber of athlete of another barely 6 footer in Levante David.
Darian Daniels? I'm trying to think. Daniels. I'm just naming names now.
No, Darian Daniels is someone I think could get taken in the NFL for sure. I don't think the Davis twins.
No.
I don't. Who else? I don't think somebody like Alex Davis. DiCaprio Boodle's a junior, and he's a little small, but I could see him get taken like that next year. I would imagine he'd come back. Now, if somebody is like Deontay Williams has the sort of season I think he could have.
Oh, that's leaving early.
That's, look, when Nebraska has people threatening to leave early, that's when your program is doing thing right, as the NFL is concerned. I mean,
it feels like a long time ago that we had to gather for a press conference when Amir Abdullah announced that he was coming back.
Yeah. And Vincent Valentine left early.
That ended up all right for him, though.
Yeah.
Got a Super Bowl.
Didn't have much of an NFL career.
He's with the Cardinals now.
And somebody signed him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's good. He was a free agent for a little bit during the season last year.
He did it. I think he did a year on IR and then ended up in Arizona.
Good. Good for Vincent. Yeah, and then you got those guys down at the Cowboys. And so the thing of it is, it's not like they haven't had NFL guys. They just haven't had those no doubters. You've had, you know, Amir was second round. Randy was second round. Prince was your last first round. Sue was, you know, 2 years before that.
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah.
1 year before that. It's been a while.
It's seven guys taken in 2011. That was the last. They had five guys in 2016. So it's been a while. I mean, even last year, had Tanner Lee in the sixth round, Nate Gary in the fifth round the year before that. Collins and Valentine both went in the third round in 2016. Abdullah and Gregory, the two second rounders. And then I always forget Stanley Jean Baptiste was a second rounder.
Yep.
And Spencer Long, who, I mean, is still kicking around the league too. And we learned is a really big fan of house music based on what they work out to after spring practices. It was always him, Searles, and Qualley.
Yeah.
And they'd have like techno music going, which was
not
the choice that I would have expected them to make.
There was and I'm far from a prude, and certainly a music prude, but you know how they have those tours running through there all the time with like grade school children?
Yep.
And then you'd have some of those guys working out, and this real heavy rap song came on one time, and I was just thinking to myself, like, yeah, I would at least, you know, try to avoid that window of like that mid-morning when you know all those kids are coming through. But
it's like,
I don't know.
This is the practice facility, kids. Don't listen to what's going on up there.
I mean, some of the lyrics were like pretty bad. To the point, I'm sitting there, I was writing something, and I'm like, I'm hearing it. I'm like, oh.
Were you blushing a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah. I felt like I needed to apologize to the chaperone who I could tell was hearing the lyrics too.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even me. It wasn't my music. It wasn't my choice. I was just a bystander in the whole thing, but I felt awkward.
Man.
Oh, well.
Shrug.
What can you do? Well, do you have any predictions? Can you give one team that Stanley Morgan is going to end up with out of 30? Wait, 32?
Yeah. Stanley Morgan feels like he's going to be a Houston Texan.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I'm going Houston
Texan. Joining Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins down in Houston. I like it.
Yes. Who you got?
He's going to be catching passes from, I was just going to say a team and I realized I don't need receivers. He's going to be catching passes from Cam Newton down in Carolina. So we'll put him with the Panthers.
Okay.
They need receivers.
Yes.
They need help.
What other football stuff we got to get through?
You
talked to Jakeem Green. You want to do that now or you want to wait?
Let's just do it now.
You want a break? You need a break?
Nah.
A little sip of water?
Let's power through Jakeem Green real quick.
Okay, go.
So I went down to Highland Community College on Monday, met up with Jakeem Green, talked with his coaches, and he's really excited about what he experienced in Nebraska. He really liked Tony Tuioti, and his coach was really impressed by how Tuioti did things in the meeting when they were just those two. And one of the things he told me is that Tuioti would have a screen pulled up of like what Nebraska would be running in practice. And then he'd have like a screen pulled up of what Jakeem Green had been doing, like in cut ups of his film. And so he would like ISO highlight one player over here at Nebraska and then to kind of show Green like, okay, this is what you're doing now. This is how we're seeing you being used here at Nebraska. This is where you need to get better. And so he's like both showing him what he'd be doing, coaching as to where he would be getting better and how they'd be using him. And the coach I was talking to was really impressed by the whole presentation and how like effective Tuioti was communicating and getting his point across and doing it in a way that like if Green had it like a bad rep, it never made him look bad. Or if he was trying to explain you needed to do this or you needed to, like he said very well done. And he sat in on those meetings before and he could see it's easy to be captivated if you were a player because of how Tuioti had that all set up. So I thought that was one of the more interesting, you know, Nebraska takeaways. Green is really, chomping at the bit to get up to Lincoln. He knows he's going to have to. He basically said he knows he's behind everybody. And so he's going to have to get there and prove that he can, you know, play when he gets those reps, whatever amount that he gets, to then prove that he can handle himself when the bullets start flying for real. So, he's already pretty motivated in that regard. I think that there's really no concern really on his end or on his coach's end about the qualification status. So it seems like that's more of a matter of time and not a matter of if, which is really good to hear. And then he was also pretty over the top about how quickly he had struck up relationships with guys in Nebraska's defensive line room and was excited and was name-checking some people he was looking forward to spending time with when he gets up to Lincoln. So I think those are all good things. And then as for other things over at Highland, Brian George is probably the best player in that program right now in terms of a recruit. He had a really nice practice when I was there on Monday. You could see why teams are drooling over him.
Corner, right?
Yeah, he's taller than I am, which puts him at a legit 6'2". And he is quick. He's long. He's got long arms. And he's just constantly talking, just nonstop, letting everybody know the result of every play. And Highland's defense is much further along than their offense right now. So generally every play was a negative play during the live period for the offense. So he's going to be really intriguing recruit. Auburn, Miami, Arkansas, Nebraska are his top four right now. Auburn, Miami are probably the two schools out towards the front. Nebraska with them.
Florida
Arkansas,
native?
I don't think has gotten a visit yet.
Florida native? Is that where he's from?
He's a Florida native. Miami's kind of the dream school. I think if the Hurricanes push hard enough, that's where he'd likely end up.
Going back to Green, what, I mean, you said it's a matter of time. I mean, what kind of time are we talking? Because, I mean, the answer to the time question probably
so he
is going to bleed over to the other.
Right. He has a computer, an online class that he has to take that's 3 credit hours, that as soon as he passes that, he'd be able to enroll within a, you know, 5-week window at Nebraska.
Okay.
And so I think you're looking at that last 5-week window, which would be
July?
Is July, it? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, you're probably looking at July for things to come together for him, and that's if he takes care of everything quickly. And I think it's a go-at-your-own-pace, you know, online class, so the quicker he can get that done and get it passed, the earlier he'd be able to enroll. So he's hopeful for late June, early July, basically. I think it's more realistically mid-June, mid-July, late July.
Gotcha.
So, and if it's late July, he's obviously have missed a session, and then he enrolls like everybody else does.
For fall camp, yep. Or for beginning of August.
And they start fall camp.
It's early this year, isn't it?
I want to say August 1. I want to say that. Or no, might be a couple days after August 1, because August 1 might be a Sunday. So,
interesting. And Nebraska made another offer at Highland.
Yeah. Another defensive lineman down there, Travis Geiger, who the coaches were basically saying has been unblockable all spring, in part because 3 of their offensive linemen are injured. but, yeah.
Well, that's great. But, great not a curve there.
Right. But he's also 6'5", 300 and probably conservatively 20 pounds.
That helps.
And he was tossing people around on Monday. He is a very good athlete and a full qualifier, as he was already – he went to Tiffin College in Ohio and then knew that he was too good for that, transferred, ended up at Highland. So he's trying to restart his recruitment. Because he's a full qualifier, I think if he wanted to, he would be able to enroll with a program already. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. And we know Nebraska made an offer to Jeffrey Mabaugh from St. Thomas More in Connecticut, a 2019 Virginia defensive line commitment. So it seems like they have that available roster space to take another defensive lineman. It's just I'm curious as to who it would be and how it all works out.
Tiffin University, if you're wondering, is a D2 school in the GMAC. So a 6'5", 325 pound guy in the GMAC doesn't seem fair.
Just tossing people around.
Non-injured people tossing them around. Yeah.
The injured people did not practice, so, which is probably good for them.
Yeah. He probably injured them.
You know, it was not explained to me whether he was the one that caused the injuries or not. So the Highland also Willie Canty.
Willie Canty. I forgot to ask about Willie Canty.
He is probably not likely in Nebraska's plans. Coaches there feel like he has a long way to go for their own plans for Highland. He'd be playing tackle for him this year. Notably got in a fight during practice in which 2 guys were swinging at each other and connecting punches against helmets, which never draws praise from coaches. The fight alone generally isn't going to draw praise, but when you're punching somebody in a helmet, you're not getting praise for that either. So he's got a ways to go as well down there. So Highland, pretty interesting stuff coming out of there. Certainly have good relationships with Nebraska. It is very much closer to Lincoln than you would probably guess.
So for us not familiar with Kansas Junior College geography, how far is Highland from Nebraska, from Lincoln? It's close.
2 hours. From my door to Highland's football field, it was 2 hours and 16 minutes. So, I mean, if Nebraska, with losing the coach that went from Dodge City Community College, which is, or Garden City, which is where they were placing a lot of people. I wouldn't be surprised if Highland is a school that they use for that too going forward. They like the coaching staff there. Again, it's only 2 hours, and it's all about those relationships of where you feel good with the coaches.
Talk to some people in the network, and Highland's not a program that's recruited heavily by like K-State and KU either, which, I mean, that's a little surprising.
But because of guys like Green and George and others, they've had a number of schools rolling through there this year that had never been there before.
Yeah.
And so they, Arizona was one of them that was there the same day that I was, never been there. Stopped in because of some of the talent that they had, made several offers.
Tuioti was there a couple days after you'd been there. Yep. Yeah.
He heard that I was there and came down there, I think.
I got to see what this is all about.
Yeah. I don't think he talks like that.
No, but he definitely does not. I mean, we're in recruiting. We may as well just keep going with recruiting. Nebraska made about 700 offers this week. That's a little high, but probably in the ballpark of how many offers went out. What do you make of the offer blitz? And did you pull any themes or anything like that, I guess, out of – I mean, there's a lot in Pennsylvania and the Northeast. Our Penn State writer was a little pissed off that he didn't get an offer from Nebraska, which he tweeted at us. But
it would have been a good tight end.
Yeah.
I assume Sean played football.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe he's just tall.
Yeah. But what did you make out of some of these early offers? Because there's been a ton of them.
Yeah, I looked at it where basically 80% of those offers they were making were to 2021 kids that were of the high quality that they had yet to offer, in large part because they hadn't been in that geographical area much in December and January. I don't know when Mike Dawson officially left the recruiting trail for Nebraska, but a lot of those offers would have been in the areas that he would have been recruiting for him last year. I don't know which of their coaches. I'm guessing it was Tuioti was in Connecticut.
I think Becton was up in Massachusetts.
Right. Jack Cooper was in Virginia and then Maryland. Held was in Mississippi. I don't know which coach was in Pennsylvania, though.
I wonder if it was Troy Walters, because he would have made that offer to Marvin Harrison's kid, I think, because they were teammates. I wondered if he was the one that was up there.
Could be. And so they made, I think, 9 total offers in Pennsylvania. They made 6 offers in Virginia, 3 offers in Connecticut, several offers in Mississippi. And then today they're off in Phoenix making offers in Arizona.
It's Mario Verduzco in Phoenix.
Yep. So it's a lot of it, though. Again, they're working ahead to that 2021. There were some 2020 offers. There's a couple actually in Ohio, as well as one was in Connecticut. But a lot of it, as I said, they just want to get ahead on that 2021 board and keep working through. And, you know, a number of those guys were already top 247 ranked by 24/7 Sports in the 2021 class. So it's just working their numbers and working the area.
It's going to be a lot of offers. Probably not going to be hosting a ton of guys on campus or anything like that.
I would guess you'll see maybe some more people in.
I mean, a lot of these offers are probably being made just to get that process started. I mean, Scott Frost has said, you know, they have to, they feel they have to do that now. And I know that Nebraska's become a little bit of a, not a laughing stock, but I mean, it gets brought up. The number of players that Nebraska has offered gets noted quite a bit by other programs in the Big Ten, which I think is kind of a joke, but
right, which is funny to me because honestly, who cares?
Right,
like do you really beat your chest that you're the program that only offered 132 people? Like, doesn't matter,
right?
It whatever matters is what your number is linked to on signing day when those are rolling in,
right?
So you're right. They do a lot of this so they can start that relationship process. The offer goes out. They figure out who has legitimate interest. They rearrange their board from there. They continue to work on the guys they really want, and they continue to see where that interest falls and then who wants to start to set up visits or all of that kind of stuff. I mean, It's different than when we were covering it, you know, 6 years ago, where an offer was after you'd already spent a couple months, you know, talking with the position coach, and then you talk to the defensive coordinator and your area coach, and then Bo Pelini would come through with the offer. It doesn't work that way anymore. It's different. And, you know, Nebraska's had success with it. So yeah, I don't think they're going to apologize for how many offers they have out or be concerned that other schools or other writers are incredulous over the thing. It's one of those things that strikes me that within 3 years, every other school in the Big Ten will basically have a similar offer number to where Nebraska's at now.
Yep.
Because they will just catch up and go on with it. That's how I sort of view it anyways. Well, let's take a quick time out here, and when we come back, we'll dive into some Nebraska basketball, who picked up a commitment over the weekend. We will probably touch a little bit more on football, and then we will discuss Darren Erstad's boys ahead of a Illinois series that has ramifications for the Big Ten.
They're all big, Mike.
They're all big, he says. So we'll catch you after this quick break.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And Nebraska basketball picked up a commitment over the weekend. Brunts, what do you know of the newest wing player on a team full of wing players?
It's the Red Wings. It's
Hanif. Jeez, look at that. Could have went Scarlet Wings.
Yeah. Hanif Cheatham. Grad transfer from Florida Gulf Coast, who had transferred there from Marquette. This is not live, by the way. Soccer's on. West Ham just scored a key goal over Leicester City.
It says live.
This is a replay.
But it says live.
Right. It's not.
Why wouldn't you remove the live portion from it on the replay?
When I'm a TV producer, I'll make that decision.
All right. Sorry.
So Hanif Cheatham takes an official visit to Nebraska, decides within about 24 hours of being in Lincoln that he wanted to commit to Nebraska, signed as official, and as you mentioned, will join all the other backcourt players that Nebraska has currently on its roster. So what are they getting in Hanif Cheatham? Well, let me tell you.
You know, if you want someone to set you up, I can.
No, that's fine.
I can deal some assists.
You're still stewing about that live thing on the TV, aren't you?
I don't like it.
So, Nebraska is getting a player who basically they need a guy who can come in, be a leader on this team, a guy that's really been through it in the Big East, former high four-star, top 100 type player, can shoot from the outside, gets to the rim. At Marquette, played in an offense because of the roster limitations that they had that was similar to what Fred Hoiberg's going to be doing with a lot of shooting from the outside. They played smaller ball there. And this, you know, as they go forward, Nebraska's not going to be as grad transfer heavy. Matt Abdelmassey said as much, but they need guys that can help them right away, whether that's junior college or grad transfer. And this is a guy that they didn't really have a prior relationship with. Hanif told me that, you know, when Hoiberg got hired, they reached out pretty quickly, but he didn't know any of those guys from before. But this is a situation, again, where I think that Fred Hoiberg's reputation with transfers, his reputation as an NBA head coach, is going to help them to put this roster together pretty quickly.
What do you see left for them to do as they assemble this roster?
Still need a point guard.
Which the dream scenario is Cam Mack.
Cam Mack would be the ideal former St. John's signee, who I think Nebraska is in a good place for. I mean, I know he's going to take an official visit to Texas A&M, but I just feel like if you're looking at relationship, which he obviously has with Matt Adelmassi, the fact that there's opportunity at Nebraska, that you don't really have a true point guard on your roster right now. Deshaun Burke, I guess, could play that if he needed to, but I don't think that would be their ideal. And he's a 3-year junior college transfer, so I think it makes a lot of sense for him at Nebraska. And I think he would be the guy that they would feel pretty good about wrapping things up with. And then you have to get you some size. You know, I think that they're going to bring in a couple guys that can help right away to take a look at in terms of, you know, just post presence. But that to me is the biggest question mark, because I struggle to see a way that Isaiah Roby comes back next year, and you got Brady Hyman. That's your size right now. And that's, you know, as good as you can be on the outside, you're going to get killed in the post in the Big Ten. So you need to have some depth there. So that's kind of the wants and needs list. And I think Nebraska is going to take some sit out transfers too, to kind of bolster the following year. That's basically the spiel.
It's a good spiel.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I would imagine in another week's time, we're going to know a little bit more as to what it could look like.
Something that Hanif brought up too, that I think is going to be really important for this team. They're going to Italy in August, and they're going to have so many new faces on this roster. I still think you might see a little bit of attrition potentially from the guys on the roster now, that you're going to need that extra practice time, not only just for learning Hoiberg's system and getting up to speed there, but just figuring out who the hell your rotation is going to be, because it's going to be pretty remarkable the difference that this team's going to have when they get on the floor.
There's a chance you're watching five guys play that did not play at Nebraska the year before.
Yeah.
And that's kind of rare in college basketball to come across that.
Yeah.
A whole lot. So that's certainly going to be interesting as to where things are at. Let's move from basketball to baseball, where Nebraska lost a series to Iowa, and they lost on the road to Creighton, and the noise is starting. Brunch, do you hear the noise?
The noise is there.
Is the noise always there?
It's April. I mean, it's noise season.
Noise season.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cruton season.
N-O-I-Z-E-S-Z-N, noise season.
We got Rays getting season.
Yeah. It's
bag season.
You'll drop a series. So it started last week. You lose to K-State at home in a pretty lackluster effort. You drop a series on the road to Iowa. I mean, probably should have won Friday night. I mean, to be honest, they should have won that series based on how Matt Waldron was pitching. The bats are not going right now at all. They were hitting 211 as a team going into that game with Creighton. And I believe they managed four hits in that game. So it's a lot of the same conversation that seems to pop up this time of year, especially when Nebraska drops a couple games. And the reality of the situation is Nebraska has four series left, three in conference. They're currently percentage points out of first place in the Big Ten, with Illinois at home this weekend, Northwestern on the road. Then they have the Arizona State out of conference series, and then you finish at home against Michigan. Indiana and Michigan play one another to end the year. And Nebraska, if they win the series at home against Illinois, you expect that they will probably win that series against Northwestern on the road. It's still for as much as they've kind of struggled over the last 10 games or so, sets up pretty well for them in the Big Ten. And for a team that was, you know, picked to finish 7th or 8th and is playing a lot of new guys. So it's always a fascinating conversation about the direction of Nebraska baseball, especially, you know, because it just always seems to pop up this time of year when Nebraska drops a few games.
Who's the best player on Nebraska's team right now?
Spencer Schwalbach. I think he's a...
Over Polinski?
Yeah. I think that Schwalbach...
And over Waldron?
Well, position player-wise, I think it's Schwalbach because I think his ceiling is incredibly high. And he had three home runs in the last 5 games. You know, they really missed him when he was out with the ankle injury.
Might have hit one if they didn't play in the Grand Canyon on
yeah. Tuesday well, night. That's another don't talk negatively about TD Ameritrade Park either, I learned. I think he's their best. I mean, he and Polinski are their two best hitters. And I think Matt Waldron, just based on the senior year that he's having, I don't think anybody would have predicted that. I mean, he's been so inconsistent throughout his career, good at times, pretty bad at times, and he's just having since I've been covering it again since 2011, probably the best kind of turnaround year of anybody that I can remember.
This is a question for you. Who's the best Friday night reclamation project that you've seen Silva put together? Because you kind of have, you have Chance Sinclair, not really reclamation, but like
they came out of nowhere. Him and De Leon came out
De
of nowhere.
De Leon. And now Waldron. Is there anybody I'm forgetting there?
No. Those are probably the main ones that stand out. It's got to be Waldron. I mean, he had a good freshman year. His sophomore and junior year, it was like, this guy's never going to put it together. And I would need to check and see what he's walked 6 guys this year, I think. 5 or 6 guys this year is all.
Yeah.
And every game that he's pitched, I mean, Nebraska's had a chance to win. And I mean, as good as Sinclair was and as good as De Leon was in stretches, I don't think that either of them were this good over the whole season.
Been a while since I've had a pitcher of an ERA this low.
Yeah.
That pitched that many innings.
I mean, it's the last few years, you kind of have been piecing together that rotation with duct tape and cardboard, and it seems like they've got something figured out now finally. So we'll see. Illinois.
All right. Well, we will, I'm sure, discuss the Illinois series. We will talk about Nebraska basketball and football recruiting and any potential football attrition that happens along the way next week. We will be back with you with the Husker 24/7 podcast.